The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doctor. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 42 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Bouncing Back.
Hi, everyone. Making It Matter is a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julie and I both have cystic fibrosis, we're made compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by Novartis, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the Digital Credit Union, so big thanks to them for always supporting Boomer Esiason Foundation educational initiatives. Okay, so today's podcast topic actually comes from the form of an email this week, so we love when we get that, and the email comes from a young adult with CF. How do you bounce back? Not just your lung function. I'm talking about your health as a whole. Obviously, I keep a steady regimen of meds and doing my best and so on. And then when I'm better, I always seem to fall off the wagon. So how do you keep things consistent? So I think we've sort of touched on this in the past, but I think today will be a little different than the fact that we're talking about strategies coming back from sort of a decline in health. And I think people with CF probably face those more and more regularly as they get older, I would presume to say. And then there's also that time in a lot of people with CF's lives where we have that one critical moment, that one juncture where our health will sort of take a dip for the first time. And we have to learn how to come back from that. So, I'll start here. I think the first time it really happened to me, I was in high school. And I was heading to my senior year of high school. I was 17 years old. I actually was diagnosed with mono that summer. And it's sort of, mono stuck with me for a really long time, probably about a month or two. And it really took a significant toll on my health in more ways than I would care to have liked, I guess. And it really impacted me because I was heading towards football season. My senior year of high school, obviously football was a big thing in my life, and I was sort of looking forward to becoming the starting quarterback and, you know, sort of having it all about me and this, that, and the other thing. And as the summer progressed and I realized I was really unable to go to the gym, keep weight on, and really condition myself for football season, it sort of became apparent to me that it wasn't going to happen. And then by the time training camp rolled around the beginning of August, and, you know, obviously those few weeks before the season starts, I was faced with the possibility that, well, you know, I'm really not going to be able to play as much as I was sort of hoping I would. Really as much as I had hoped I would play at the end of my junior year, rather. And so football came around, and my health just was like, just was not there. We got to the first day of practice, and we had to do like a long distance run just to see what kind of shape we were all in. And I mean, I could barely finish it. And the coach just sort of, you know, mentioned something to me. They're like, you know, we know you were sick over the summer. You think you should take it slow and, you know, get back into it. And obviously I was sort of not in the right frame of mind at that time. So I called the doctor, and she was like, you know, we're going to have to deal with this because you're obviously not back to the way you should be. So this is a little bit of a long story. I now get it. But I came away from the doctor appointment feeling like I was just so totally defeated, because now I was going to have to miss a significant portion of my football, the football preseason, because I was going to have to go on IVs and all that. So I went on IVs, and it didn't really do the job. So 2 weeks went by. My lung function sort of hovered around where it had been when I was with mono, and it sort of became clear to my parents and I that it really was probably not going to come back up. And it became clear as soon as my doctor sort of said something to the effect of that. But she was like, you know what? Well, we've been on IVs for 2-3 weeks. You know, we'll finish the course, and then we'll, you go back to playing football and see how it goes. A week went by, and my health was not where it needed to be. I mean, I basically sat on the sideline for the first game. At the second game, I think I played like a handful of plays, And it just didn't work out. So then I went back to the doctor, and the doctor essentially was like, Gunnar, you know, I hate to tell you this to you, but we're going to have to go back on IVs, and we're going to do a bronchoscopy this time, and we're going to have to sort of clear the whole thing out to see if we can get any response. And I know that's going to be an issue for you, because now we're in the heart of football season, of the season's, you know, started or whatever. And she essentially was like, if this isn't worked out, then we're going to, you know, your hockey season is going to be in jeopardy. So the choice was to continue to play football and sort of coast along at the certain pace, or do you do everything you can to get yourself ready for hockey season? And that, as a 17, 18-year-old kid, that was a impossible decision to make.
Yeah.
So I ultimately just chose to be more aggressive and shoot to hockey. So that's, we'll leave that story there, and then I'll let you talk a little about yours. But the first time that I saw my health dip. And then we'll let you tell you a little story, and then I'll tell you how I came back from that.
Yeah, actually, similar timing on my part. I actually had a bout with mono too, but when I was in fourth grade, so I don't really remember. You know, I remember being out of school for a significant, like, you know, 1 or 2 months.
Yeah, mono sucks.
Oh, that's the worst. But I don't remember how I bounced back, so I'm going to talk about something that I do remember very vividly. I was 17. I graduated high school early so I could move to LA and record my own music with producers. And the first month after I moved out there, I started to get really sick for the first time. I mean, honestly, since that, like, big battle with mono in fourth grade. And I was flying home for my first visit, and I didn't change my CF care team because I had been relatively healthy enough to like have faith that I wouldn't need it in LA. Came home, went to my CF clinic, you know, for a normal just check-in, and my lung x-ray showed atelectasis, which is like a partial lung collapse. And I was feeling very weak, tired. I was sleeping all the time. So I kind of knew something was up. And so they didn't let me go home. They put me right in the hospital to kind of battle that. And I was devastated because I was finally recording music, moved out to LA. You know, I was on my way to, like, pursuing my dream, and, like, the rug got ripped out from under me. But I kind of took it in stride, told my producers. My producers didn't know that I had CF yet. So it's like,
surprise.
I'm not coming back because I'm in the hospital with a partially collapsed lung. And they waited for me. So as soon as I got out of the hospital, I think I waited 1 week and was like, you know, let's just hit the ground running right away. which 2 months later came back to bite me because I was rushed to the emergency room in LA with another partially collapsed lung. Actually, the other lung too. So it wasn't even necessarily related, but I think I was just run down enough that both happened. And at that point, I remember my mom was with me and in the emergency room, and I, like, opened my eyes with the morphine drip, and I was just like, because I was in a great deal of pain that time. And I was like, is this some kind of cruel joke? And I mean, from there, I had to do some reevaluation physically and emotionally. I was just completely spent because I was really gaining momentum with my songs. And then CF just kept kind of getting in the way. So from there, yeah, I mean, like, I can definitely talk about how how I got to where I am, but
yeah, I think you're hitting the nail right on the head there with reevaluating. So
yeah,
I think in my case, obviously, when you're 17, 18 years old, like you were, like I was, when we both had that moment when our health sort of slipped, it's hard to convince a teenager who thinks he knows everything that he has he or she has to reevaluate how he or she's been proceeding with life so far. I think for me at that point in time, I sort of recognized that it was important to take things aggressively rather than sit back and let them come at me. And that's sort of what I've been doing, trying to get through football camp, trying to get through mono and trying to condition myself for football and all these things. I do think that had a major impact on my health, a major negative impact on my health, because I didn't look at the big picture. And that was sort of my takeaway from that experience. And then as soon as I started aggressively treating what I needed to be treating, I was then finally fit, ready to play hockey in the winter. Unfortunately, I had to miss pretty much my entire senior year of football.
Yeah. And I had a similar experience. Like I, you know, with the second bout of, with the second partial lung collapse, I turned to my mom and I said, I think I need to come home and like put everything on hold, like sublet the apartment. I need to come home and just like figure this out because something's wrong. And if I stay here, I'm just by nature of who I am, I'm just going to keep on going. And I don't think that that's what I can do. And I actually think I was so emotionally beaten down that I needed to kind of like reset that way in order for the physical to follow. Like I am a believer that those kind of go hand in hand. And I was just so beaten down, both physically and mentally. I came home and I stayed home for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
It was my 18th birthday when it was actually the day, like 2 days before my 18th birthday when I was rushed to the emergency room, stayed there for IVs there for a couple weeks. And then we drove home. And I stayed home until January.
You drove home from LA?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And I was so sick. I mean, my brother and my mom, God bless them. I mean, I was a miserable human being. And we did it, I think, in 4 days because wow. We were just like, let's do this. Let's get home. Everyone was kind of bummed out for me and I was not doing well. So I definitely think that taking that significant amount of time, like 6 months to kind of just like get better. And it turns out 2 months after I moved home, I needed like a new tune-up. So it was a good idea that I kind of just reset. And by the time I moved back out to LA, one of my songs was picked up for a movie and like I was ready to go. But I needed that time. Like I needed to devote that time to physical and mental health because I was just so done.
Yeah, you know, I think ultimately people with CF, especially kids growing up, see, we feel like, you know, our parents are always on top of us and there's very little freedom in life. Mm-hmm. You know, you're sort of just surrounded by the, you know, the aggressive need for care. And, you know, especially, you know, my mom was always on top of me, just like I'm sure your mom was always on top of you with your health and your brother's health. But, you know, by the time at least when I got to college and you probably when you got to LA, you felt like you were finally free of, you know, the watchful eye of your parents and you can kind of do things on your own and you wanted to prove to yourself that you could care for yourself. And I think ultimately that's what college served that purpose for me. You know, I think more than anything, college was a proving ground for me that I could really take care of myself and, you know, provide for myself in a way that, you know, my parents had sort of geared me to do. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately by the time I was about to graduate college, actually my senior year, I just had like a stroke of bad luck. My first semester of my senior year, I had pneumonia in one lung. And then my second semester or senior year, I had pneumonia in another lung. Sort of like you had the unrelated lung collapses. So, but you know, the graduation for me looked very much like a finish line as it did sort of like a bittersweet moment when you're like getting ready to go away from college because it's like the best part of everyone's life. But it was a finish line for me because I was just sort of trying to get there and get out of that mess that I was in. And, I had the same thing. I was like, you know, instead of going to pursue my dream of going to law school or going to graduate school or whatever, I was like, I have to go home and like, I have to live with my parents now just so I can, you know, get back on top of my health. I had to reevaluate everything I was doing. Obviously eating fried food every other meal was not something that was beneficial for my health. You know, I had to essentially look at my diet, look at my resting habits. I had to look at my, you know, my exercise, what I was doing to take care of myself, how I was cleaning my nebulizers, all this stuff. I had to reevaluate the whole thing over the course of about a year. I also took some risks. I jumped into some clinical trials. You know, who knows if they worked for me or not. But there were a bunch of things that I had to do just so I could get my health back to a stable, comfortable place because I was in like a free fall nosedive by the time I was graduating college.
Yeah, I think taking the time to you know, reevaluate, resituate, kind of figure out what your body needs is so important. And unfortunately, it is a reality of CF. But I think had I not moved home, I would not have safely done that. I think that was the wisest choice. Unfortunately, it took two tries to get there, yeah, to get me there.
Well, you got to live and learn, right?
Yeah. And unfortunately too, like, you know, the first time it was just, you know, I'll say bad luck or whatever you want to call it, because I was taking care of myself. And I think that was also the frustrating thing. Like, oh, this is just life with CF. Because, you know, when I was in college and I got hospitalized, that was my own fault. I was totally running myself into the ground. Unfortunately, when I was in LA, we don't know what it was. You know, it was just some...
I think it's one of those things, like, you know, we could always take care of yourself as to the best of your ability, but there's always that chance that something can happen. You can catch a cold. Like, there's nothing from stopping that, and that cold can morph into something else. It can activate an infection or whatever. And, you know, those are things that you can't really... You can only concern yourself about them so much, because otherwise you're living in a bubble, and that's sort of against everything we're talking about here. But, I do think that what it comes down to is whether or not you have the ability to consistently manage your care. And that's a very difficult thing to do when you do know that there's a chance that it could all come crashing down around you, regardless of whatever you're out there doing. And I think that's probably the hardest thing of dealing with CF is just knowing that there's that chance there. You know, I look at myself a couple of weeks ago, I mean, my health had been fine for 6 months. And then all of a sudden I like had this crazy like allergy weekend. And it, like, I just was developing so much mucus. I was like, it was like, you know, when you feel like there's like somebody like a 900 pound weight on your face, because you have all like that stuff all up here, you know? And that's what it felt like for like a weekend. And then a few days later, it was in my lungs, you know, from just the overload of mucus, and I activated an infection. It was like, I had been taking such good care of myself, and all of a sudden, something stupid like that happens. But there's literally nothing you can do to, like, foresee that coming.
Right. Yeah.
And you just kind of take it in stride.
Yeah, I mean, I have, like, my worst part of my CF is my sinuses, and I always say, like, I can do as many rinses as I want, and it will always, like, it's gonna be a problem. Like, but if I stop, then, like, it's going to be a worse problem.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, it is the reality of what we're dealing with, but it's important to kind of, you know, recognize, you know, if you don't do this stuff, it will be worse. And also give yourself the time that you need to kind of bounce back. Because I think it's silly to think, you know, like, kind of honor the fact that you're fighting something that is, you know what I mean? Like,
it's not easy. I mean, you have to cut
yourself some slack, you know? Yeah,
exactly. And I think you have to look at it in a positive way if you can. And the way to do that, or at least the way that I do that, is I try to sort of learn from every sort of situation. You know, when I was in college and I had the pneumonia, I was taking actually really good care of myself. I don't think I ever missed a treatment or taking all my pills. I was doing my overnight feeds, and I just happened to develop pneumonia twice. I mean, just like one time it was from like a strep throat infection. It just never went away, and it just turned into pneumonia. And, it was a pain in the ass, but it's just the way things worked. And, you know, what I sort of had to learn, what could I do to make sure that I wasn't going to get sick? I had to reevaluate my sleeping hours. You know, in college, your sleep schedule in college, and when you first start to get out of college, like, you're first in the adult world, it's a very weird transition, because you can sleep all day in college if you have to. Yeah. And then all of a sudden in the working world, that sort of goes away. Mm-hmm. And it was something I had to reevaluate. And I also, like I said, I had to reevaluate my nutrition. I had to sort of focus in on other things than my overnight feeds that I was doing with my feeding tube. I had to supplement my nutrition in other ways.
Yeah.
And that was just ultimately what I think helped stabilize my health and sort of, you know, stop the dip, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and in that 6 months that I came home and was resting and just kind of figuring out, I was also trying to figure out, like, is this my new norm? Is this, like, every month A new lung collapse. This is my new norm. While I was figuring that out, I like devoted myself fully to my that's when I started my nonprofit and did my first fundraiser, which was very good for my emotional health, like to just kind of start talking about it so openly. And yeah, because my producers had to know. I mean, at that point, it was like, well, might as well jump all the way in because we're already almost there. And I think that overall helped me in the long run kind of overcome the battle too. Cause that was when I was introduced to like the CF community online too. And when I was starting to publicly speak about CF, met parents and heard other stories, and it kind of just,
then you friended me and slid into my DMs.
Yes. Did I, or was it the other way?
No, around? That's exactly, no, you did that.
Did I really?
Yeah, you did that.
I would like to see that. I don't even remember.
It was the best day of my life.
Aww. The feeling is mutual. Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, that has helped me, I think, just in general. So yeah. Yeah, thanks, Gunnar.
Yeah, well, you make a good point by talking about the emotional side of things, because that's also something that is really being emphasized today, as we've mm-hmm. said over the past couple months here. And it's something that I know I overlooked when I was growing up, and something I think everyone overlooks when they're growing up. But you know, once I graduated college and I wanted to sort of bounce back, and even in high school, I had something to look forward to. I had hockey to look forward to. You know, after college, I sort of had to find a direction that I wanted to take my life in, because I knew that I wanted to be productive and an active member of society rather than just feel crummy and, you know, bad about my health or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you had to do some soul searching, or that's what I did. You know, what did I want to do? And ultimately, the high school that I graduated from gave me the opportunity to coach football. And that was like just a starting point. That was something where I could just kind of jump into feeling like I was a part of something. And then from there, I started getting other jobs. But I at least had that opportunity. And basically what it did for me was it showed me that I could get back into the swing of things. Regardless of how difficult it may or may not have been, I was able to sort of go forward with my life rather than sit in constant decline.
Right. Yeah, I think in order to move forward from a physical setback, you have to kind of just like – give yourself that mental break and then kind of say, okay, yeah, I want to be an active member of society. Yeah. If I'm just going to sit here, then nothing's going to change.
Well, that's the ultimate like goal of life, is to get through life in a productive way.
Yeah.
You can't just like sit back and let it waste away, because a life wasted is obviously a life not worth living.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's easy. I think it's easy to sit there and wallow in it, especially when, you know, I certainly wanted to. The second lung collapse, I was like a mess. I was so – I totally
– surrounded by frustration, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh. I was angry. I was so – I don't think I've ever been as angry in my life as I was. And I wasn't angry at anyone in particular, just angry.
Going from singing pop to death metal.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think like – I gave myself the time to be angry, but then I gave myself time to be sad, because it was also very sad to kind of be that close to this dream and then, you know, keep getting knocked down. And then I was like, all right, what are you going to do about it? Because being angry and sad is not that fun.
No, I mean, ultimately, so. Yeah, I mean, we say you got to persevere through these things, but I think the first step is coming to grips with what you're dealing with emotionally and physically. And as soon as you can do that, then you can sort of move forward, because, you know, you can't hide from the problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like a grieving process, essentially. Like, you're grieving that opportunity or that, you know, whatever was in your life at that moment. And I think it's important to respect that for yourself.
Oh, definitely. For sure.
So that you can move forward and get stronger emotionally and physically.
Absolutely. So with that, I want to move into our Making It Matter segment, because we're highlighting two people that have overcome significant adversity in their lives and have really done a great job for the CF community, at least within the last month. Our Team Boomer Athletes of the Year is a new program for us, a little online contest we did. which actually turned into be quite a big online contest, whether by mistake or by some stroke of luck. So Michael Caruso Davis and Avery Flatford were our winners this year for the Athletes of the Year, our Team Boomer Athletes of the Year. And ultimately, they did a tremendous job of spreading CF awareness. They reached on like local news channels and newspapers, and all this crazy stuff started happening around this like little tiny online contest. So really cool to see that happen. They did a great job of spreading awareness, and ultimately, I think that's what they should be celebrating here, is that they did a fantastic job of spreading the word about CF, and I think that's what I'm most proud about with this little contest that we did.
Absolutely, yeah. They did a stellar job of raising awareness of Team Boomer and CF, so
yeah, good job, guys. The word is definitely out there, because that vote all of a sudden went from being like, let's see if we can get to 1,000 votes first, all of a sudden it was like, let's see if we can get to 85,000 votes first. And that was like just absolutely crazy.
Yeah,
but good job for them. Yeah. And I guess we'll have to outdo that next year somehow. But yeah. we'll see what happens. But that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for the 42nd episode of Making It Matter. I can't believe we're at 42. Actually, you know what? It's been like a year now that we're in June. So it's been a little over a year since we started this, so it's pretty cool. Remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarEsiason.com or JuliaRay.com. And you can also follow us on Instagram if you do like, share, review. And also Instagram as well, which is
@MakingItMatter_CF.
Like, share, review there as well. And if you want to see us podcast about something specific like we did this week, you can always send us an email. My email is gunnersblog@esiason.org, and Julia's email is
JuliaRay@JuliaRay.com.
Or send us a message on Facebook, or even tweet us. I think we had a Twitter question.
Yeah, we did.
That was pretty cool. So definitely get in touch with us. We like to get some feedback and talk about the things that you want to hear. Right? Yes. So that's always very important for us. Anyways, thanks for joining us for the 42nd episode. This is Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray signing off.
Bye, everyone.